La 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 la. Hey gang, welcome to the show. I would like to sing along with the music because of Skype. The music is being played in one time zone and I'm singing in another, and we just can't get it to sync up. So I don't sing along with the music, at least not on these live shows. This is a live show. This is Monday. This is National Bugle Radio, coming from the beautiful, brand new, co-certified studios in beautiful downtown Burbank. We are, I believe, still waiting on Mark Collett from Great Britain. He will be with us very shortly. He always is. This is Monday. Mark, did you have an extra few pumps in your workout section?
I certainly did. It was a good Monday. It was a arm and back day. So I had to give it my all because it's coming up to Christmas. And the really worrying thing about Christmas is there's so much pressure to eat and there's so many nice things to eat as well. So you can't let things slip just before Christmas because that is the road to flabby bellies and unfitness.
We don't want that. We don't want that. And this new schedule that we're on, we're coming an hour later. This is 1 p.m. Central Time, whatever time it is where you may be. One thing it does is it gives Mark time to do his workout before the show. It gives Mr. T and I a time to patrol, to secure the perimeter before the show. So that's all good. Now, I had a plan for the show, Mark, and this is the basic plan. You've done a video on how Theresa May is failing to Brexit or undermining Brexit. And of course, there's a lot of consternation in the United States right now about whether or not Donald Trump is going to be able to get even a penny to build the wall. I thought the British voters had voted to leave the EU and now don't seem to be making much progress on it. The American voters voted very clearly to build a wall. We're not getting it. And yet Vladimir Putin is the one who's undermining our democracy. I think the Russian voters, when they vote for Vladimir Putin, they tend to get a lot more of what they want. Am I missing something?
Oh, you're not missing anything, mate. You seem to be right on the money here because Brexit is now completely in tatters. And there's a lot of things happening. I did a video on it last week. It went up on Friday. It's been quite well received, and it's a bit longer than usual. I tried to keep my videos under 15 minutes because I was getting to the point where I was making sometimes, 30-minute videos, and I felt sometimes they lost a bit of their punch because of that. There was a lot to get through. So I tried to keep them so they're shareable and digestible because obviously we do a much longer show on Wednesday. But this one sort of crept up a bit, and I ended up, even with a few sort of cuts, it ended up being nearly 18 minutes long because there's a lot to get through. And it's quite a complex topic because Theresa May hasn't stopped Brexit by her own hand. And that's the important thing to remember. Theresa May hasn't said, you're not having Brexit. I'm stopping Brexit. I'm not doing this. We're not doing this. That's not what she's done. She's been very, very clever. And she's done everything in a very, very underhanded and dishonest way. So instead of saying, I don't want Brexit, I'm going to stop it, I'm a Remainer, which she always was. She was always on the Remain side. In fact, she campaigned for Remain. There's pictures of her holding up Remain placards. She attended a cozy meeting with Goldman Sachs bankers about a week or so before the Brexit vote, where she reassured them that it was her intention to remain and that that was the best option for Britain. So while she was doing all this, she really did mark her card. She nailed her colours to the mast, so to speak. But since she was elected as leader of the Conservative Party, she's been the one in charge of steering our path towards Brexit, taking the ship of state through the rough waters and navigating the right path so we make it out the other side. As I said, she hasn't turned the ship around by her own hand, but what she has done is she has made sure that the ship has hit every rock and obstacle on the way out so that everyone else is like, you know what? Maybe this wasn't a good idea. This isn't going smoothly. You know, we need to stop and rethink. Maybe we need to turn the boat around. Maybe we need to stay in. And that's how she's done this. Mm. She's done this. And people are saying, oh, she's bungling. She's making a mess of it all. I don't think, you know, if somebody's the leader of a nation, and she's not an idiot. This woman isn't an idiot. She's not somebody with like a low IQ. She's not somebody who's, you know, a moron. I think this is all.
She's not, you know, not Kamala Harris.
No, she's somebody who has, I believe that she has basically bungled this as much as she can. And she's been doing this from as soon as she got in charge, as soon as she took over from David Cameron.
I want to just ask for a second. So the Brexit vote took place while David Cameron was the British Prime Minister, the leader of the Conservative Party. And hadn't he made a pledge that he would be the one to honor the vote, but instead then he goes and resigns, and they have a party election, and Theresa May wins. But in that party election, anybody who's running for party leader knew that they were obligated to honor this vote. This was part of the job description, wasn't it?
Well, this is the big thing, you see, because firstly, and this is very, very important, I'm pleased you brought it up. Firstly, it's very, very, very important to note that ultimately David Cameron promised an in-out, one-off referendum. We either stay in or we come out. It's a yes-no vote. There's only two options. And most importantly, he promised that he would honour that vote. Whatever happened, he would honour that vote. So there would be no messing around, there'd be no silliness. He would honour that vote and make sure that the people's will was done. And the minute the vote didn't go the way he wanted it to, because obviously he, again, was an ardent Remainer, the minute it didn't go his way, he changed his tune. He decided at that point that he was going to resign, which meant straight away it threw the whole process into flux.
Just
because
a
he
quick
was
question. Is David Cameron still in Parliament?
Yes, he is. He's still an MP, I believe. But basically, the issue here, and this is the big issue, is David Cameron was meant to trigger Article 50. Now, Article 50 is Britain's way out of the EU. By triggering Article 50, it sets Britain on this path to leave the EU. But he didn't. He wouldn't trigger it. He decided that that isn't what he was going to do. In fact, quite the opposite. He wasn't going to trigger it. He was going to resign. Now, obviously, straight away, that threw a spanner in the works, because as soon as he said that he wasn't going to trigger it, it pushed everything back. It pushed everything back because we needed a new leader of the Conservative Party. We needed a new Prime Minister. And whilst that was all being arranged, Article 50 wasn't being triggered. So straight away, he actually helped delay the process. But why is a delay an important thing? Well, a delay is an important thing because the longer the delays, the more chance it gives people who are anti-Brexit to actually form legal challenges. And that's exactly what happened when Theresa May got in. Rather than the first thing she did was trigger Article 50, she said, I'm going to trigger Article 50 on this historic date, which gave all of the people who were initially on her side, who were the Remainers, it gave them all a chance to actually mount legal attempts to derail Brexit. So straight away, she showed that she was doing the same thing as David Cameron. And this was the first steps in a long list of steps of ways that the Conservative Party, led by both David Cameron and then Theresa May, have tried to derail Brexit, have tried to give people who didn't want Brexit in the first place a fighting chance to make sure it would never happen.
Well, that's so in other words, she's negotiated in such a way that she's come up with a deal that couldn't really be approved, and left everything up in the air. What do you think is going to happen? Now, she's won her vote of confidence within her party, so she remains the leader of the party and remains the prime minister. What could possibly happen now?
That's the worst possible thing that could have happened. That was incredibly bad. And the reason that was incredibly bad, the reason it was so bad, was because by giving her this vote of no confidence and her winning it, it means there cannot be another vote of no confidence. The Conservative Party can't force another vote of no confidence in her for quite some time, which basically leaves us with this horrible, horrible situation where ultimately she can more or less do what she wants and can't be dislodged. So she's now in a position of ridiculous power, and this ridiculous power can be wielded in any way she sees fit. So now, if she decided, and this is another key thing that's just come about, the European Court have just decided that, you know, maybe we should not, because initially they were like, you voted for Brexit, that's it, Brexit's happening. You know, like it or lump it, you've made your choice, you're off out. See you later. But now they've decided to take that back. They've decided that, in fact, if we wanted to go back on Brexit, if we decided that we didn't want to go through with it, we could withdraw Article 50. So she could even withdraw Article 50, and there's very little anyone could actually do about it.
Here's one thing, because I was looking into this over the past week. So she's got a very slim majority in her coalition, in her ruling coalition, and it does depend on this Ulster, what is it called, the Ulster Unionist Party?
The Democratic Unionist Party,
which is Protestants in Northern Ireland. Conservative Party by itself, do they not even have a majority?
No, they don't. The Conservative Party do not have a majority. They have a slim majority. David Cameron's Conservatives had a slim majority. Theresa May blew that majority by holding an election at the worst possible time for the Conservatives. You see, the best time for the Conservatives to hold it is when students aren't at universities. But if you hold it when students are at universities, they're usually left-leaning. And that changes the whole political political landscape for them. So by holding the election when she held it, it actually brought about a situation where ultimately she saw safe seats lost to parties that should never have won them. And it's almost like, as I said, it's almost like she's done everything in her power to bungle this.
Mm-hmm. So if enough, this is probably not discussed much because probably it may be so unlikely that it's not worth discussing. But as an outsider, I'm gonna bring it up. If enough of the Unionist Party or defectors from the Conservative Party, if they chose to join with the opposition in a vote of no confidence against the government, meaning the cabinet as a whole, then they could force her out. But, you know, maybe that's pretty unlikely.
You could have a vote of no confidence in the government, but that would be much more difficult to bring about, because you would need the DUP to vote with every other party, and every other party would need to come together, and you would likely need some Conservative MPs to do that, which would be very unlikely. For a vote of no confidence to pass in a government, and all the other parties to bring that about, you would likely need, even with the main party not having a majority, you would likely need some of their MPs to vote for that, because there are other smaller parties in Parliament that, you know, could swing a vote like that. So that's unlikely. If it did happen, that would be incredible. But you are right. She is more likely. She's in a position where that's more likely to happen because she doesn't have a proper majority.
And I don't know how, you know, whether this type of thing has happened in Britain before. I do remember in, I believe, 1982 or 83, in West Germany, the Free Democratic Party, which had been in a coalition with the Social Democrats, they walked across the aisle and joined with the Christian Democrats. And just overnight, or just in an instant, the prime ministership or the chancellorship went from Helmut Schmidt to Helmut Kohl. And an election wasn't even held. Just they just joined with, they defected from the ruling coalition and formed a new ruling coalition. This type of thing does happen sometimes in parliamentary systems.
Oh, it could happen here. It could happen here. For example, because the Conservatives don't have a majority, if, say, the Scottish National Party and the Labour Party went into coalition and a group of angry Conservative MPs decided to defect, they could swing the balance. But that would be very unlikely to happen. You do get some people crossing the floor, but it doesn't happen very often. If there are people who leave a party, they usually leave a party to sit as an independent or to go to a fringe party. So you may have a Conservative MP defect to UKIP to make a point. You might have a Labour MP decide to leave the Labour Party and sit as an independent in some form of protest against the war. So, for example, when the war in Iraq happened, I believe there was I think there was at least one Labour MP that went independent over that. And that's something that can happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right now I'm looking at the numbers. The House of Commons is a 650-seat body, so half of that would be 325. Half plus one is 326. The Conservatives have 317, and the Democratic Unionist Party 10. So together, they only have two seats more than that 225, or one seat more than the 325, one seat more than the 326. So if the rest of the opposition, and there are seven independents, I don't know what the, but they do sit with the opposition. If the rest of the opposition was unified in wanting, supporting a motion of no confidence against the cabinet, against the government, then it would only take three defectors from the ruling coalition. I don't know, but like I say, if people aren't talking about it, perhaps it means it's not likely. I'm just throwing it out there as a technical possibility.
I don't think that will happen, but I do believe that the problem we've got is with the Brexit vote, come March the 29th, we were initially told that Brexit was happening no matter what. And if a deal wasn't struck, come March the 29th, we would end up with what was known as a no-deal Brexit, that we would go into it and a deal would have to be negotiated afterwards. And that was something that was almost like a set in stone. It was almost a given that there would that on March the 29th of next year, Brexit was happening, come hell or high water, deal or no deal. But the problem we have now is essentially we have reached a point where the European Parliament have said, well, the European Court said.
Well, we'll have to hear about that after we come back.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you a few from Amazon.com. By Mel. Great product. My husband and father-in-law use it regularly. Both my husband and father-in-law have had significant change in their blood pressure and overall health. By Amazon customer. It works for me. Returned to buy the tincture and the capsules as they were on sale during February. Unlike some other products, this one worked for blood pressure and occasional irregular heartbeat. Extendivite produced noticeable results after just two bottles, a four-month supply. I take Extendivite three times a day, every day. I think the supplement has helped with my increased fitness regime and to lower my blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Okay, we are back. Patrick Slattery with Mark Collett, and we are talking about Brexit. We're talking about Theresa May and how she has artfully bungled the Brexit deal and somehow secured herself a place in for the time being, at least, in number 10 Downing Street, and is successfully stymieing Brexit. So, we got cut off. You got cut off right before the break.
Yeah, I was just really saying that the thing is now with this new European Court ruling is that essentially Brexit can now be halted. And because it can be halted, I think the prospect of a no-deal Brexit will loom, because I don't believe that the deal that Theresa May has had a part in crafting will ever pass through Parliament. I can't see MPs voting to ratify that deal. Now, originally, if MPs didn't vote or wouldn't vote to ratify the deal, they wouldn't vote to agree it, it meant a no-deal Brexit. But it no longer means that, because the European Court has said, if we wish to, we can withdraw Article 50. What has essentially happened is Theresa May has played a hand in fashioning this absolutely awful deal, which is just all round terrible, that has so many bad clauses in it that we can go into those if you wish later. Mm-hmm. But because she's played this hand in doing this, we have ended up in this really, really bad situation. And the bad situation is that we as people now could end up having to vote again. Because if it looks like it's going to be a no-deal Brexit, if Parliament rejects Theresa May's Brexit deal, they can now withdraw Article 50 and say we need more time, which basically halts the whole Brexit process. And I think Theresa May has done this on purpose. I think that she has put together such a terrible deal that it will never get through Parliament. And because it can't get through Parliament, and as soon as the no deal Brexit looms, she will just say, right, we're going to put it to a vote. Should we withdraw Article 50 to give ourselves more time? And as soon as Article 50 has been withdrawn, it would have to be they would have to trigger it again. And triggering it again would mean from the date of it being triggered, there'd be a new 2-year process of us leaving. But they might not trigger it again initially. It might take a year before they trigger it again. And then if they do trigger it again, that'd be another 2 years on top of the year. So it could be years before we saw Brexit. Or more likely, if they withdrew Article 50, there would be huge pressure for a second referendum. And that second referendum would be one that the Remainers would win by landslide, because there'd be so much electoral fraud. The establishment would never allow Brexit a second time around. And as soon as Brexit... as soon as the second vote went the other way, it wouldn't be the best of three. It would just be, right, let's put this to bed and never talk of it again. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what's likely to happen. But I've said this since day one. I initially said I believe Brexit would win, but then I believe they would renege on their promises and they would force a second referendum. And I think that is what is happening now. And I think this is a huge betrayal of the British people. This is the worst betrayal of the British people since World War II, since we were taken into that war by Winston Churchill. This is the greatest betrayal since then. Mm. And it's going to be historic. But she has done everything in her power to make this deal unsaleable to Parliament. You know, there's 585 pages of sort of legal stuff, you know, the finer points of this deal, but in it there are certain clauses, there are certain parts which are so bad, they're not a deal. It's not a deal. These are terms of surrender. You know, it's not a deal. It's so bad that no one in their right mind could ever really view this as a good thing. It's clearly bad. You know, and one of the terms, the worst term that people will have probably heard talked about but won't understand, is called the backstop. Mm-hmm. Now, the backstop is essentially relates to Northern Ireland. Now, Northern Ireland is part of the United Kingdom, and the United Kingdom only has one land border with the EU, and that is the border between Southern Ireland, which is a separate country, and Northern Ireland, which is part of the United Kingdom. Now, the problem is that border is something which the EU wants to keep as a soft border, and the British government signed up to something called the Good Friday Agreement, so they're also committed to having that soft border.
The Good Friday Agreement, this was something that had been negotiated with, I think, a Senator Mitchell, who was part Irish and part Lebanese, but he was a senator from Maine. And he, I think it was during the 1990s, wasn't it? He was Bill Clinton's envoy to this Irish problem. So there was an agreement between Great Britain and the Republic of Ireland over some sort of... some sort of deal over Northern Ireland to wrap up its troubles, you know, the political violence. And so this goes really beyond just the Britain and the EU, but it also has big implications for the potentially very divisive and violent problem of Northern Ireland. Isn't that correct?
Yeah, it does. But the problem we've got is, because they want to keep the border as a soft border and not a hard border, because they want people to be able to cross it easily, they want trade in goods and services to continue as part of the Good Friday Agreement, we have a real problem. So they talk about, initially the talk was of Northern Ireland remaining in the customs union, but the rest of the UK not. But that wouldn't work, because it would basically mean that if somebody wanted to send goods to Northern Ireland from England, that wouldn't be allowed. It would, you know, there would be customs and tariffs. So it essentially make Northern Ireland not part of the UK, really. And that was obviously met with great anger by the DUP, because the DUP are committed to Northern Ireland being part of Britain. So you've got these problems starting to occur. So Theresa May says, right, okay, the whole...
And we'll be right back after the break.
We'll be right back. You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $400? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsight.com to make it happen. You will hear this offer only on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell 5.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
Welcome back to the show. It is the Monday edition of National Bugle Radio, meaning we have Mark Collett with us. And Mark, you were speaking. We got interrupted.
Yeah, I was saying that essentially Theresa May couldn't have applied the backstop to simply to one nation. She couldn't have just applied it to Northern Ireland. It had to be applied to the whole of the UK, or we'd have seen a dissolution of the UK. The UK would have broken up. Now,
okay, I just want you to explain exactly why that's the case, why it would have broken up if the border between the Republic of Ireland and Northern Ireland was left open.
No. What it would have done, if she'd have just applied the backstop to Northern Ireland alone, it would have meant there would have been a soft border between Southern Ireland and Northern Ireland, but there would have then had to have been a hard border between Northern Ireland and the rest of the United Kingdom.
That makes sense. So you would have had to have customs. If you're taking the ferry from Belfast to Fishguard or whatever.
If you'd have taken the ferry from Liverpool to Belfast, you would have had to have gone through customs. It would have essentially meant that Northern Ireland was no longer part of the UK.
It would be ceded to the EU in general.
Yes. So that was a problem. So she said, well, what we'll do, we'll extend the customs union, we'll extend the backstop to the UK. So the UK as a whole will remain in the customs union for a limited time until we figure things out. Now, that doesn't sound too bad. That doesn't sound like that bad a thing, really. You know, we're leaving, but for a limited time, we'll remain in the single market and the customs union for a short period of time until the agreement can be worked out formally of what we're going to do with Northern Ireland and how a trade deal will work. That sounds reasonable. So why are people so up in arms about it? Well, with every legal agreement, there's always small print. And Theresa May tried to keep that small print from the public. She tried to hold back the small print and not tell people what the backstop was really about. Now, in the small print of the backstop, there are clauses that state if a new agreement is not reached, Britain, well, the UK, would remain within the backstop indefinitely. Indefinitely. Actually, up until 2099. So if the EU refused to sign off on an agreement with the UK, the UK would be trapped within the customs union and the single market for, well, up to 2099. So, and whilst it was trapped in that, the UK would still be legally confined to certain rules, regulations, even taxes, and there would be no way out. And whilst the UK can leave the EU by triggering Article 50, the UK would not be allowed out. There would be no legal way out of this backstop. So really, it was like this huge trap. In fact, some of the papers called it the backstop trap. And Theresa May knew about this because the Attorney General read the small print of the deal because she asked for proper legal advice and proper briefing on the deal from the Attorney General. So the Attorney General provides her with said briefing. She gets the briefing and Parliament says, can we see the briefing? And she says, no, you don't need to see the briefing. And they were like, yeah, we want to see the briefing. The MPs wanted to see the briefing. The public wanted to see the briefing. The press wanted to see the briefing. And Theresa May refused to let them see it, which brought about a historic occurrence. Theresa May's government was actually held in contempt of Parliament. For the first time ever, a government has been held in contempt of Parliament, which is roughly defined as when anyone, a government, an individual, whether they're in the House or out of the House, does something that actually impedes the functioning of Parliament, actually stops Parliament making a proper decision or doing its duty. And for the first time in history, a government was found in contempt of Parliament. So she had to then release this information to the public, to her fellow MPs. And obviously it all came out that the reason she was so eager to keep it hidden was because there were these little clauses, these little secret hidden things, which were actually disastrous. Now, when I first read the deal and it said, oh, the backstop is just a way of Britain remaining in the customs union for a limited period of time, even I was like, well, that's not, doesn't sound too bad on paper. But when you read the small print, it's not only bad, it's actually worse than being a member of the EU. And this is why the woman cannot be trusted, because she actively conspired with her cabinet to keep that legal advice from fellow MPs and the general public, which actually shows her nature as a person. It shows she is disingenuous. She was selling us a deal without telling us the true sort of, you know, depth and scale of the deal. So we wouldn't have even known what we were getting into. And then there's other terrible things about this deal as well. For example, we have to pay the EU 39 billion. Well, 39 billion for what? We're leaving. We're not getting anything back for that. But she wants to give the EU 39 billion of taxpayers' money. So again, this isn't a deal. These are terms of capitulation. You know, when people say deal, they think of something that's mutually beneficial. Like if we do a deal, you say, look, mate, I really need a hand, you know, moving some stuff. You wouldn't come and give me a hand, would you? Oh, well, you know, if I give you a hand with that, you wouldn't mind lending me your car, would you? Because, you know, I need to go to the other side of town and pick up some groceries. Yeah, well, you give me a morning's, you know, worth of heavy lifting, then I'll drive you around town so you can pick up your groceries and grab the things you need from the shops the other side. Okay, bro, brilliant, deal. You know, that's a deal. A deal isn't, you know, will you do all the heavy lifting and then afterwards, you know, you can walk back home because I'm not doing anything for you. And in fact, I'm making life more difficult for you than, you know, beforehand. That's not a deal. That's you getting turned over. And we are completely getting turned over with Theresa May's so-called deal. And when you're looking at all of this, she's also been very, very clever to betray those who voted for Brexit on the issue of immigration. Now, obviously, many, many people voted for Brexit, not just because Brexit was something to do with the EU. People are obviously against the EU, but also people voted Brexit as a huge protest vote. People voted for Brexit for a variety of reasons, you know, all of them anti-establishment reasons. So people are voting for Brexit. They're voting on this anti-establishment ticket. And one of the big anti-establishment pushes is the push for the UK to get immigration under control. And Theresa May, as Home Secretary, which is what she was before she became Prime Minister, she was disastrous. She let in her final year as Home Secretary, 2015 to 2016, she let in an unprecedented 650,000 migrants legally, and the government, the Home Office, estimated that in that same period, 200,000 came in illegally. So by government's
Mark, have we lost you?
You are looking at 850,000 people. Now, it won't be 850,000. It'll be more than that because they always massage the illegal immigration statistics to make it look less bad than it is. But with this, you can see that she was a big fan of immigration. Now, she often, you know, made all the right noises, said, we're going to get it under control. But she's not. And part of the Brexit deal will actually see more immigrants coming to the UK because she's enshrined citizens' rights, which will not only allow all the EU migrants who've already come here to stay and they'll be granted full rights, but it will allow people to keep coming here up until 2022 and also have those rights. So we voted to leave the EU in 2016. And 6 years on, people will still be flooding in from EU countries. And people say, well, is that bad? They're white people. Well, not all of them. You know, when countries like Germany open their borders and give all of these asylum seekers passports and citizenship, those people will be allowed just to get straight on the Eurotunnel and come here and have all the same rights here in the UK. It really is quite scandalous. You know, if you're an EU citizen, you have rights to come here. And, you know, those people would also have rights to come here if they gained EU citizenship in another country. So a soft touch country like Germany could effectively, up until 2022, ship all of their unwanted migrant population that they'd granted EU passports straight over to the UK. And there's nothing we could do about it because of Theresa May's terrible deal. So yet again, another huge insult to people who voted Brexit and a direct insult to those who used the Brexit vote as some kind of protest against immigration.
So I was in Ireland back in the 1980s, and of course that was at a time, it was before the EU had come into being. It was the European Economic Community, the EEC, and both Ireland and Britain, Great Britain, you know, Ireland and the United Kingdom had been in the EEC or the common market since the 1970s, but you had a hard border between them. You had a hard border. You had hard borders between,
France and Germany, who were founding members of the EEC back in the 1980s. So the question is, how traumatic would it be for Ireland to go back to having a hard border between these six counties in Ulster and the rest of Ireland?
Well, this is the issue, you see, because the Protestants, those in Northern Ireland, who want it to remain Northern Ireland, who want to remain part of Britain, this would be a huge betrayal of those people, because those people would then be given over to Ireland, which is...
No, I mean having a hard border between Northern Ireland and the rest of the island.
Oh, that wouldn't be difficult at all.
Yeah.
There wouldn't be any difficulty.
That's how it was in the 1980s, for instance.
Yeah, you could go back to that. But Britain has signed up to what is known as the Good Friday Agreement, and the Good Friday Agreement sort of guarantees that that won't be the case.
Of course, the Good Friday Agreement that's from, what, 1998, and that was after the EU, after the Treaty of Maastricht and the internal borders of the EU were opened up. And now, of course, now Britain is not, the United Kingdom is not to be in the EU anymore after the Brexit. So it's not as if the Good Friday Agreement is a constitutional document for Great Britain or for Ireland.
Well, no. I mean, again, this just shows that, again, Theresa May is prioritizing a foreign nation, Ireland, above the people of the UK. The people of the UK voted Brexit. She's in coalition with the DUP, who are absolutely furious about the idea of there being a backstop where they're cut off from the rest of Britain. But again, she is desperate to please the globalists. So she's less bothered about the people in her own coalition as she is about pleasing the EU and these bankers. This is all about, as I said earlier, betraying the people who voted for Brexit. And she has plunged, even I, I'm an ardent Brexiteer, I campaigned for Leave, I was on the front lines of that campaign. And even I'm looking at this thinking, oh my gosh, this is absolute chaos. And although that doesn't change my mind one bit, although, I am just as committed to leaving the EU right here today, on the 17th of, December 2018, as I was back in 2016. But many people, normal people who were less political, that were for Leave, will now be thinking, oh my gosh, what did I vote for that for? This has been an absolute disaster from start to finish. It's all going so wrong. And these things also cause a degree of uncertainty within the financial markets. They cause a degree of uncertainty within the housing market. People are tighter with their money because of these things. Oh, what about Brexit? Am I going to lose my job? Will it affect me? Will it affect my house price? And all of these things have an absolutely huge effect. And people then start panicking, thinking, oh, well, was it the right thing? But that's, again, exactly why this has been done. This is being done to put people off the whole idea of Brexit, to make people think the whole thing was just, bad. It wasn't what we should have done. And if people get enough buyer's remorse, for want of a better word, we will end up with another referendum and it will undo the will of the people. But all of this has been done because, essentially, the Conservative Party, the Cabinet and Theresa May have completely betrayed the will of the people. And they have done everything in their power to undermine Brexit and to turn the whole process into some kind of complete and utter farce, which has brought everything into disrepute.
Wow. Well, I just wanted to tie it in a little bit to what's going on here, because you have this month is basically the last chance for Donald Trump to get any funding through Congress for the wall that he was elected on. That was his number one issue. And of course, in his case, some people might argue, but I think his failure is not through lack of sincerity. It's through lack of competence that he had opportunities where he probably could have gotten some funding in the past. He signed a funding agreement for the government.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets, even with a growing audience every day. RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Attention RBN listeners, Dr. Ignatius Piazza, founder of Frontsight Firearms Training, and Fate have come together to allow RBN to run another fundraiser till the end of the year. We didn't really expect this opportunity, but thankfully, it's here and running as you hear this. We've set a goal of 500 donations by the end of the year, which averages around 6 per day, 7 days a week. When you realize all the folks listening to RBN all hours of the day and night, we think our goal is realistic and extremely critical to keep RBN on the air. If everybody listening will seriously assess their ability with firearms and then take advantage of this opportunity, we feel our goal is very conservative. Please take the time to look over FrontSight's website to get an idea of an amazing facility and the world-class training that's going on there. If this interests you, you likely will have like-minded friends that would like to know. Tell them. If for some reason some listeners are not personally interested, consider sons and daughters, close friends, nieces or nephews, top valued employees, inform club members, share the opportunity with police and fire departments. It's not too early to plan Christmas presents for special people. This fundraiser has come at an extremely critical time for RBN because the dire need for equipment upgrades. We're running on the spare tire currently with no money to fix a flat, and the fuel gauge is bouncing on E. This is one of the most valuable ways you can help RBN financially, because you get Commander lifetime membership value that is 50 times your donation and can be passed on forever. How many times during life do you get to leave a legacy? See more details and contact info on our webpage, republicbroadcasting.org, and thank you.
Hey!
show, National Bugle Radio, with Mark Collett and Patrick Slattery. And I was just getting at really kind of the similarity between what's going on in Britain and what's going on here with the wall. I think the one difference is that President Trump isn't sabotaging himself on purpose. He's sabotaging I think Jared Kushner and Ivanka and lots of people in his own cabinet that he's put there are sabotaging him on purpose. And so in his case, it's more of he's lost opportunities, he's bungled things. Do you have, after all that you said about Brexit, Mark, looking at the United States, looking at Donald Trump, looking at the wall, do you think there are parallels here? What do you think? What lessons can be drawn?
I think what we can see here is every time there is a political revolution, whether that be via referendum or via election, the globalist establishment does everything it can to undo that revolution. It either puts in a group of people who act in such a bungling and incompetent way that people lose faith in it, or members of the deep state, other politicians, do everything they can to ring fence the person who's been elected. And I think this proves one thing, which I've been saying for quite some time. Listeners of this show might have even heard me say it. We cannot leave our destiny in the hands of those who hate us. Those who hate us must be removed from power. And here in the UK, we have proved beyond the shadow of a doubt now that Theresa May, the Conservatives, every one of those rotten MPs in Parliament needs getting rid of. We need to get rid of them all and start over again, because we've got a situation here, and I liken this to termite infestations. When you have a small area of your house infected with termites, you might be able to get rid of that. But if you get an entire wall infested with termites, by the time you've dealt with that wall, those termites have spread to the next wall. And by the time you've dealt with that wall, they've spread right the way around through another two walls. So every time you end up cleaning a wall out of the termites, you move around only to find, you know, you've got another problem. And all you end up doing is chasing your tail and cleaning one wall out or demolishing one wall to put in a new wall to find they've moved to the next wall. So you're never actually getting anywhere. And that's where we are now. So what's the solution? Well, unfortunately, when the house is that badly infested with termites, the only thing you can do is burn the whole thing down. And that's what we need to do. We need to get rid of the entire establishment, and we need to start again. You know, we can retain some of the institutions. We can retain the education system, the NHS, the government, but we need to occupy all positions of power within those.
Well, Mark, thank you so much for coming on again. I always look forward to Mondays, and I look forward to Wednesdays when I can join you on your podcast. How can you find that?
See you then.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.